The Fantasy Edge with Richard Seville and Dennis Sosik.
Hello and welcome to The Fantasy Edge. I am Richard Seville of FantasySixPack.net, and joining me shortly, as usual, Dennis Sosik, also of FantasySixPack.net. We're not going to do waivers too much. We might touch on them a little bit if there's time, but I kind of want to do a little bit of review of the season and talk about the players that came best, because we're starting the fantasy playoffs. So we're just going to cut right here. The season end at 14, where week 14 ended, and see how things led you up. And we obviously hope you made your playoffs after this weekend, and then there is a game to come against the with the Rams and the Cardinals. Rams have lost some key people. Jalen Ramsey won't be playing, so I don't know what's going to happen. All I can think, Dennis, is that Hopkins is going to have a field day without Ramsey out there to cover him.
Yeah. Hello, Richard. Yeah. Maybe hopefully he's healthy enough to keep playing out there. Yeah, losing Ramsey and Tyler Higbee, which maybe it's not much of a loss, but Ramsey's going to be a huge loss for that defense. I guess especially against Kyler Murray in that offense.
Yeah, definitely. Ramsey is the, in a real football sense, is a bigger disaster. But for fantasy, the bigger loss is, of course, Tyler Higbee. And I looked down the list, and we were talking before the podcast. We were having a little bit of a discussion about, in our five fantasy six pack league, it's become an issue and a bit of humor attached to it, sort of, but not humorous for the people involved. my weekend is done. I have no players, and neither did my opponent, which was Kevin this week. How did you do? How did you do in the playoffs in your leagues? So good.
I did fairly well. I was in that Scott Fishbowl playoffs. I'm actually, only the top 10 make it in each conference. I'm 0.35 points out of 10th place. So, and I'm done with my players. So I'm kind of salty about that, but. Nothing you could do about that. Tyler Heinicke giving me negative points didn't help my cause there getting into the playoffs.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, I figured he would have a good game, but it didn't work out so well for me.
Well, neither for people with Lamar Jackson, and that's what we start our news off with, is Lamar Jackson. He had to leave the game early, and he only scored a fantasy point, 1 point. But MRI on the ankle, availability was in question, but apparently he's okay, and he's only questionable for next. They kind of expect him to be okay. Kind of a lucky break there, Dennis.
Yeah, lucky for the Broncos, yeah. I mean, they still, made it interesting at the end. I mean, Tyler Huntley came off the bench and played fairly well. For 270 yards, 45 rushing yards. Unfortunately, he fumbled the ball twice for them, but I mean, he was looking Mark Andrews' way, so he was dominant. 11 catches and a score. It even brought Rashad Bateman back to life. He had a nice game as well. So they're going to need Jackson next week when they face the Packers. So hopefully Jackson can come back next week for them.
Yeah, I'm not too. Yeah, I know we were down on Rashad Bateman, as you just mentioned there, and he did bounce back with the game. But I don't know whether. I think that was because, the Ravens had to try and rally. They had to, get passing. They couldn't rely on the running game. And I kind of wonder what happened to the Browns in the second half. I mean, they just sat on that lead, it seemed like, and went really conservative. And
yeah, too conservative. I don't know what they're even. Baker Mayfield said they got too conservative. They were running the ball that well, but at least they were trying. And at the end of the game, they were, I don't know what they were doing. They made some stupid mistakes, and the ball didn't bounce their way either, which always happens to Cleveland. And luckily at the end they got it out. Miles Garrett made a phenomenal play with that strip sack and fumble return for a touchdown.
Yeah,
if it wasn't for that, we would have lost. So. Miles Garrett for Defensive Player of the Year, of course. So we saved the game for them this week.
I don't know. I'd put my vote in for Micah Parsons, me.
Yeah, I know. We're debating. I was debating that yesterday. I would maybe just because that's a homer in me, but I'm still going for Miles Garrett.
And I think Watt's in for the show too.
Yeah, I mean, because I think he's missed too many games, especially maybe. After he left early. Thursday. So I don't know. Miles Garrett, I think, is, Parsons had a phenomenal year. I mean, he was a great draft pick by the Cowboys, but I still think it's Garrett's going to win it.
Yeah, Garrett is good, but I don't know. I think you're right about TJ Watt. I think he's a bit too, he's missed it, maybe missed a bit. But Michael Parsons, I don't know. For a rookie to win it, it's very possible. I mean, he's so good. Shit, he's good. Anyway, other news. The Miami Beat back, the entire backfield is on the COVID reserve list.
And COVID rears its ugly head again.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what, Dennis? I think this is getting a little bit ridiculous. I mean, I think it should be like if you're showing symptoms or something. I don't think it should just be like, okay, you test. Okay, are you showing symptoms? Are you showing? You gotta be kind of like. I mean, it is sort of kind of like a bad flu, really, when it comes down to it, and it only affects the old. I don't want to get into that discussion.
That could be bad.
I don't want to get into that, but anyways, I just feel like, because I looked at today's news, and there are a ton of players that are going on the CR list.
Right, I've seen that, yeah. I mean, like you said about, tonight with Tyler Higbee and Jalen Ramsey, you got Alexander Madison from the Vikings, Rashawn Taylor from the Chargers rookie left tackle, him as well. I mean, everywhere, it seems like every team's having suffering from it. And, Dolphins' backfield is going to be a mess. I mean, they all have been vaccinated, but they all tested positive. So I'm not sure what's going on there. But let's see. Hopefully they get some negative tests and they're healthy to get to play this week.
Yeah, I get the idea what they're trying to do here, but I'm not for it. Anyway. I don't want to get into that.
that could be a bad person.
Yeah, it could be bad.
Yeah. You could get a little trouble.
Yeah, it could. You're not allowed to have an opinion. But anyways, Antonio Brown, he's part of the issue of this as well. Because he lied about getting vaccinated or he had a fake vaccination card. Brown just can't avoid trouble, obviously. Arians, we discussed this too. I was 60-40. He leaves the team, and you were like, I think from 70-30, I think.
Yeah, 70-30.
That he stays with the team. And so we differ on that. But Arians came out again and says it's still up in the air whether he changed. So it's just game on, right?
He's still. I mean, he's a head case, and I mean, the Bucs offense was, fine without him, so I'm not sure they're really worried about getting back either way.
No, they're not. Exactly. I think they can, I think they would just like to just like put it in the closet and hope it goes away. The noise just stops. I don't know. But Antonio Brown just cannot avoid
it. No, he loves it. He lives off of that.
It seems to be. Urban Meyer, he's kind of developed a habit of seemingly not knowing what's happening on his own team. Something's very wrong there. It came up on First Take on ESPN with Stephen A. Smith and Michael Irvin were talking about it. And he was asked by one of the local reporters of this guy called Cisco. I forget his first name. But anyways, he said, we'd like to see Cisco get a bit more work. Well, it turned out he didn't even have any work. And he said, I don't have his numbers in front of me. And well, he had nothing. That's why you don't have any numbers. I don't know this Urban Meyer issue, definitely some sort of, he's got issues with the locker room. He's lost the locker room. Do you think so?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've been a fan of Urban Meyer, when he's coaching the Buckeyes. I'm a huge Buckeyes fan. He won a championship in 2014. It was great to have him here. He retired because he had some health reasons and some other reasons where we don't get into. You let him retire. Then he went to this, college football studio. And then shockingly, he decided to come back to coaching, which I was very shocked to even wanted to come back to coaching. But then top of that, he wanted to coach in the NFL. Why would anybody want him to coach in the NFL? I'm not sure. But the Jaguars did, and he's proven that it's not working. I mean, his act is wearing thing with coaches, fans, and most importantly, his players. And he just needs to move on and get back to the studio before he ruins – Trevor Lawrence and the rest of that franchise.
Yeah, I think it's a different culture in college and a different Absolutely. Culture in the NFL. The transition, very few manage to, well, take it full on. I know we've seen a few leagues. We saw Jim Harbaugh do it for a bit, but I don't know. There's a difference between, like, the Harbaughs are sort of born to it in a way. They're born to just the you know, so Jim Harbaugh, when he was coaching the 49ers, I mean, he took the 49ers to a Super Bowl.
Right.
And he didn't win it, but, you know, they got there. And I don't know, just a totally amazing thing. I thought, was that the Super Bowl that the brothers but played in it over there? Was it?
Or am I thinking they coached against each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go, right? Just so you, the Harbaughs are just, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, the whole life's football. Yeah.
But anyways, this Urban Meyer story, you know what? This is the thing, and I mentioned it in a, you know, I put a little post in the, because Mark Strausberg of F6P in our F6P chat room, he was talking about it, and I said, I'd sure like to be a fly on the wall, basically, in that locker room, you know, and or hearing some of the discussions. It would be really enlightening because everything's kind of secret, you know, like, and you're getting stuff. It's like there's little bits and stuff that's leaking out, but, you know.
Yeah, he's became kind of a joke now. I mean, before he was looked as, you know, when he was coaching in Florida. And then Ohio State, he was looked at as a legend in coaching, and now is kind of a big joke for all the crap that he's done, you know, off the field and on the field now with the shenanigans he's playing out in Jacksonville. I mean, he just needs to step away. And I mean, obviously, it seems like he's kind of losing it out there right now.
I think he's lost his mind, really. He doesn't look like he's happy. He looks depressed. Right. He looks like a depressed person. He really does. He looks like a manic depressive guy. Just me. That's just. I mean, I don't know Urban Meyer. I'm not a big follower of college football. I mean, because that's where he got his stripe in coaching, obviously. So I don't know any of that stuff. But I'm just talking purely on body language and what I see on the screen and how I see him reacting and talking to the press after in the post gamers. He just doesn't seem like a happy person. There's something conflicting in my, really hope for the best for him. He seems pretty depressed.
Yeah, I think he's just overwhelmed with everything. And plus, you know, he's not used to losing and the way their team's playing or not playing. I mean, they're getting shorted on every game. I think it's just getting to him. And I think it's overwhelmed him to the point that it's, you know, getting into his head now. I mean, he's already had health issues, heart issues in the past, and you kind of wonder if now it's, you know, everything's getting to him more than ever, and just something probably should never try to tackle.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of like Casey Stengel and the 1962 Mets.
Holy cow. Weird reference there, but okay.
Yeah, but Casey Stengel said, because I think the Mets had the worst record, like, ever in the history of baseball that year. And Casey Stengel said, can't anyone play this game? Can't anyone on this team play this game? Yeah, it was one of the worst, you know. I think I'm talking Casey Stengel. I could be wrong. I'm not a big baseball guy, but I just remember that quote but I do remember the story of the bad Mets. Anyways, let's get on to some, we're going to take a look at some awards. I wouldn't call these awards. I mean, I started off doing the sheets about awards, but it's just kind of like an opinion piece of what we think of players. We'll probably mix in players to probably talk about. It's more of a discussion thing than it is giving out awards. It's kind of like going out talking about the season. Before we get into this, you know what? I think the biggest game changer of the season, Dennis, you know what? I think the pivotal point of this season was the loss of Derrick Henry. After Derrick Henry was lost to the season, it changed everything in fantasy of 2021. I think it was a very pivotal point.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, yeah, he was dominating for, you know, the first half of the season, and not using him, that changed a lot of the, you know, a lot of the AFC, with him going out. And then, of course, they had Tennessee offense. Yeah, that's a good one too. I mean, one thing I think is really hurting the NFL now is the refereeing, how bad it is. I mean, I'm not sure what they're seeing out there sometimes, but, they make some horrendous calls that are affecting, you know, the outcomes of games that that make no sense whatsoever to me.
Yeah, and also the taunting call is a little bit out of
control. Yeah, those are stupid. I mean, I saw one of them where someone was even, I guess the play was called dead, and it was a defensive player was just pointing at the guy after he did a fumble recovery, and he got called for a taunting play on that. Yeah. I'm like, are you serious? Come on.
Cassius Marsh of the Bears, he got called. You know, he was just looking at the bench.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, that's stupid crap. I was going to say something better, but I'll be PG on that. but yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. Some of the stuff they do, it's almost like arbitrary too. I mean, there's not a set of rules that you, no matter what you do it. You know, some refs call, some don't. And the degree of things that get called don't make sense either.
Yeah. I do think I think the referees are calling a lot of things a bit too tight. I think, too, that I've always been kind of the opinion that pass interference shouldn't be a spot foul. I think pass interference should be a yardage, because it's kind of good if they make it like 10 yards instead of making it a spot foul, because the ambiguity of such a call, and especially if it's a call in the end zone, you get the ball right on the one. I've always felt this, and I've felt this for a long time, and I know I'm barking at the wind, because it's kind of what makes it kind of what differs the NFL from colleges is that particular penalty, really. And I just don't like it being called a spot foul. I think it should be a yardage fall from the line of scrimmage, 10 yards or something like that. That's a big chunk of field that you're giving up, especially when in critical moments like late in the game, if you're trying to Hail Mary, you can get.
Yeah, I think all they're doing is throwing the ball up to hope you get a flag on it. You know, you're not. There's no strategy in that except for just, you know, it's almost like a Hail Mary every time you throw the ball up and pray that you get the flag on it, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. But
anyways, just to let people know, this was the list of, I'm just going to run through really fast. The top 16 players, like, well, I guess 16 is probably the limit. The upper limit of league size that you can have. And this was the top 16. It was McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, Henry, Elliott, Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, Jonathan Taylor at number 11, Stephon Diggs 12, Travis Kelce 13, Calvin Ridley 14, Austin Eckler 15, and DeAndre Hopkins 16. There's already a couple of names that I can see go way higher, and there's already a couple of names that I can see go way lower on that list. Oh, yeah. First of all, the best first rounder, I would say it's pretty obvious. Jonathan Taylor was ECR 11. Definitely going to be inside the top five. If not, he could even be drafted. If you can even draft him ahead of Henry next year.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, who do you take if you get number one pick next year? Henry or Taylor?
I think I'd take Taylor.
Yeah, me too.
I think I'd take Taylor. Henry's great, and he'll be fine. He'll be a beast again. And, well, you know, I don't think you can have any regret taking Jonathan Taylor. No, I think he catches more balls. Even though Henry was getting a little bit more reception yardage this season, like there was a couple of games where it's like kind of eye popped Henry. But I don't know, Henry's so good, man. He can get you a touchdown from anywhere on the field. Like it doesn't matter. He's gonna break a big one like once or twice or even three times a year. You know.
Yeah. Highlight reel plays that. I mean, and you love to watch him play.
He was even doing that before he was the number one, like Deion Lewis. Was it Deion Lewis? Oh, no, that wasn't the other guy. The Dallas guy, mostly. Played for Dallas, and then he went to remember the days when Derrick Henry, remember when people would say, oh, take away that long touchdown and how much yardage has he got?
Yeah.
No one does that anymore.
Yeah. No, not anymore. Nah, because he still gets his yards. He's a beast. I mean, you know, Taylor's becoming, you know, similar to Henry, but like you said, he's getting a lot more receptions, and you know, he started off really slow this year, you know, not getting anything the first couple games, and then all of a sudden he's been scoring like every game since like week three, and finally Frank Reich has decided to give his best player the ball. It makes sense. That offense, and you know, it's been history ever since. I mean, he's just been dominating every game.
Okay, and the most disappointing out of that list, I have to say, and this is, it's for me, it's got to be Christian McCaffrey. I know he can't, I mean, injuries are aside, but I don't know what we're doing with Christian McCaffrey next season. I'm a little scared to draft him.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, where do you take him? I mean, who would you take him after? Yeah, it'd be kind of hard to figure out where you would take him exactly. Middle first round, maybe? I don't know.
I really don't want him. I want somebody like, I want somebody like Najee.
Right.
You know, because.
Yeah, it'd be hard to pick.
That'd be hard. I don't know where, I really don't know where I would rank him.
Right.
I think I rank him outside the top five now.
Yeah, I agree with that. But how far down do you go? 10, 12, maybe? I hate to do that.
This is true. If he's healthy,
he's healthy
and going,
is number one.
But I think a bit of the shine has gone off him because I think there's a little bit of wear on the tires now.
Yeah, agree.
And not big wear on the tires, but
just enough.
Just enough that there's wear on the tires.
Right.
So
yeah, I didn't. Yeah, it'd be hard. I mean, I thought about taking him, but I thought that may be a little bit of an easy selection. So I thought about also Ezekiel Elliott. He's not looked as good as he has, but he still has 9 touchdowns this year. But I went with the kind of a surprising pick, at least maybe to some. Travis Kelce. You know, fantasy managers wanted a difference maker in the lineups at tight end and figured Kelce would do it. He's only scored 5 times this year and he's 4th in average points per game for tight ends. So not something you really want out of your first rounder, not being as dominant as you expect out of that position.
Yeah, and first round pick is such a risky pick, and to risk it on to risk your first pick on a tight end. Granted, Kelce will get you the good points, and he has in the past. But you know, since the bye week, I don't know what it is about the Chiefs. Things haven't been going quite good. I mean, like before the bye week, he was TE3, 4, and 2, normal area of where Kelce should be. But since the bye week, I don't know. And even in this game against, they score 48 points over the Chargers. A lot of it was defense, of course, but a lot of it was Mahomes getting on track. And even, you know, Tyreek Hill, I don't know, this new style of offense that the Chiefs are running at the moment since the bye week. I guess because, I don't know what they're doing, but...
yes, it's killing the fantasy value.
It is.
Best players.
Yeah. It is. I mean, 3 fantasy points in 2 weeks there, in the last 2 weeks. That's not what people want, especially in weeks 13 and 14 where you're trying to make a run for the playoffs.
Right.
I think people lost because they didn't get the production they wanted from Kelce these last 2 weeks. So, you know, the final 2 weeks of the season, that's you getting, that's you. You're, say 4-3 looking for the playoffs and your best tight end is giving you 3 points.
No, you can get that off the scrap heap, you know, on the waiver wire. Get those 3 points. You invested a first round pick. He has to produce and outproduce every other tight end by significant margin to get the value out of that draft pick. And he's not done that this year. So,
okay, Dennis, it's time to, let's see what best waiver grab. And you know, when I was doing the sheet, I was thinking, I'm just going to put in Cordarrelle Patterson for him. Because he's going to agree with me that Cordarrelle Patterson is the... I mean, where do you
come... That's too easy.
Do you know what his ECR... ECR 367 before the season?
That's crazy. Yeah, crazy.
He came from nowhere.
Right.
He came from nothing. And he's like, he's something... every single week he's producing. He's one of the steadiest and strongest. I mean, it's amazing because he's the ultimate... fantasy player, I think. And he, I should have grabbed him off the waiver wire, but you know, you kind of think it's a one-off with him. Like after week 2, he came in, RB5 in 2. And you know, I think, it's just a, but the next week he came up as, he was WR24, okay, yeah, maybe. And then he was top in week 4, but he's never finished under the top. I mean, he's had had one bad week in week 10 against Dallas, where he got only 4 fantasy points. But, you know, overall, you can't argue with the production. We're talking like 1, 2, 4, 10. Is that right? 10 touch? No, that's not right. That's
5 and 5.
Yeah, you're right. He's got 10 touchdowns. You can't argue with.
No, not at all. I mean, he's running back 8 on the season in fantasy. That's crazy. I mean, like I said, you know, he started off, and I thought it was a fluke, and I didn't even, like, pay attention to him. Like, well, that's just going to go in. I didn't push to get him. But boy, I'm sorry now. I mean, he's on a lot of championship rosters
he's had one-offs before, right?
Right. Yeah, you see flashes of it. Like, yeah, it's just Patterson doing 1-2 games. Maybe you see it, but he's been doing it every game. Crazy. I mean, he's phenomenal. He's that whole offense. I mean, you know, they have no point. Davis is disappointed. Calvin Ridley had his personal issues that he hasn't played. So that's all they got is Patterson on that team. So he's been the whole offense.
Do you think he's going to be a bust next year? Because people are going to think his ADP will go too high and then he busts.
Oh, yeah. People are going to reach for him like crazy. I don't know. I wonder what they're going to list him as, a running back or as a receiver. Or both.
I think he's a running back. I think him as a running back more than a receiver. I do.
Yeah, I do too, but some people probably clamor for him to be a wide out two to dual position. But, I mean, if you're going to draft him, I think you would draft him as a running back. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably trying to stay away from him unless you get a discount, but I don't think you will because people are going to reach for him big time. I'm not sure if I would want to. I can't get disappointed again. But
I think he busts next year. I think it's just a one-off season.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, think with you would hope that really comes back. Pitts has another year in there. I hope they get another running back. Or maybe just be Patterson the main running back. Who knows? But you would think they would get more weapons around Matt Ryan next year. He's still there. Yeah.
Just running down the list of who scored the most fantasy points in each of the positions. I even put the kicker guy in there just for the top scoring quarterback this year was Josh Allen. Top scoring running back Jonathan Taylor, and top scoring fantasy wide receiver Cup. Top scoring fantasy tight end Mark Andrews, and top scoring DST was the Patriots. And the top scoring kicker, Nick Folk. Anything in there surprise you a little bit? I'm a little bit surprised at Mark Andrews being the top scorer in fantasy for the tight end position a little bit.
A little bit.
Mark Andrews has been steady as a rock in fantasy. I think even when Lamar Jackson left the game, the backup. I keep forgetting his name. Yeah. What's his name again?
Huntley.
Tyler Huntley. Yeah. Even when he left the game, I mean, he still ended up being 115 yards and a touchdown. Caught right. all yeah. 11 of his targets. I mean, he's the most targeted. I mean, he'll go. I don't think he can beat Kittle, whom we'll talk about a little bit later. But I think I've got George Kittle in here somewhere to talk about. Yeah, I do. I don't want to miss talking about him because I really want to talk about George Kittle later on. Okay. But Mark Andrews as a top scorer, but Josh Allen everything seems fairly normal there, except I guess right. Cooper Kupp. Nobody kind of expected Kupp to emerge, but
not to this extent. No.
No.
No, he's leading the league in everything. He's playing phenomenal with Stafford. It's amazing the extent he's exploded to this season.
Yeah, and I think we mentioned this on a previous podcast, is about how Cooper Kupp sort of has a similar thread to like how Megatron was, and I think it's got a lot to do with Stafford's style of spreading the football around.
Right.
That gives Cooper Kupp. I cannot remember me the WR2 on can you remember who was the WR2 on the Lions when Megatron was playing?
Oh my.
That's a tough one. I mean, the only guy I can think of is Pettigrew as a tight end, but he was a tight end, not him, but somebody else.
It wasn't Perryman there when he was there?
That's
too long.
Oh, maybe. No, that's not, no, I believe before him. Anyway, no, it's not important. We've got to move on.
That's going to bother me. Thanks.
Yeah, well, I can always go to Pro Football Reference and look it up.
Right.
Bounce back player for 2021 in the running back position. I chose Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette for the season was RB37 in the ECR. Wow. Look at him now. He's where he was. This is the Leonard Fournette that we were supposed to have like years ago.
Right. And when he got drafted, yeah, he was phenomenal in college and he didn't do much in the pro. I mean, he did okay the last maybe year or so in Jacksonville, but obviously not to this extent. I mean, he's playing out of his mind right now. So he's
dominating. Dominating. And he's getting the trust and he's actually a big, I would say it's not just Brady that's moving this team. It's Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, he's a key to that team. Yeah. He's driving force of that team.
Yeah. He is a driving force. You're absolutely right. We can talk about Godwin and Evans. You know, we can talk about those guys, but Leonard Fournette is really a major anchor right now. And well done, Leonard Fournette.
Right. Yeah. Good for him. He's doing very well, obviously. And, you know, they had Ronald Jones was there. The offense wasn't clicking. And, you know, brought Brady in. And Ronald Jones kept fumbling and missing assignments on blocking. And you can't have that with Brady. So Fournette stepped in. He's been there ever since.
Just awesome.
Yeah.
Your bounce backer?
Joe Mixon.
Not really bounce back, though, is he?
He scored 4 touchdowns last year. And it seemed like he was always hurt. Disappointing, you know, fantasy managers. And this year he has a career high 12 rushing touchdowns, 2 receiving touchdowns. And if he wasn't hurt now, he'd probably have career numbers across the board. So, I mean, he only had, like I said, 4 touchdowns. So he wasn't like he was having a career year. He was drafted kind of high, but.
Not really. Actually, you're kind of right because he was ECR at the draft rankings of RB13. He'd be a lot higher now. You're absolutely right. I would think he's a top 5 draft pick. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, he's like running at 3 right now.
Yeah, so. but I'm thinking like in 2022 would I draft him?
Oh, yeah. I don't know where I would. I mean, you take Henry or Taylor in 1 and 2.
I think he's top 10 now, though. I think he's at least top 10. Maybe not top 5, but he's somewhere in between 6 and 12 there. Somewhere in there. I mean, like, I know Eckler's going up, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, Eckler, yeah, definitely. As he stays healthy. I need to stay healthy for my playoff and game this week. So. Selfish reason there, too.
Eckler was RB10. He'll be easily, I think he could crack the top 5, maybe at number 5.
Yeah, I mean, see that.
Yeah. But anyways, you're right about Mixon. Go on. I kind of interrupted your train of thought. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I was good with Mixon.
All right. Bounce back player for quarterback. I didn't pick one. I didn't pick a bounce back quarterback.
Yeah, I started looking. I'm like, holy cow, I didn't even pick a button.
I came up with a player. You came up with a guy.
Yeah, I came up with Carson Wentz. He looked as kind of like a failure in Philly. He's making so many damn turnovers. It's getting ridiculous. And, you know, this year he's made some horrendous decisions, but he still has a 22-5 touchdown interception ratio. And, you know, he's doing well and he's, you know, supporting Taylor as quarterback back there. He's playing well right now. So I give him credit. So I think he's a bounce back player.
Yeah, he had a 400-yard game this season against Baltimore. A couple of weeks ago, he had 306 yards against Tampa Bay of all teams. When they play, they still lost the game, but still good outing. I guess you could count him as a bit of a bounce backer. He's definitely he's a streamable quantity. There's no question about that.
Well, yeah. Good, great matchups. Yeah.
He's a bit on the risky side. You really got to count on a matchup with him.
Absolutely.
But he's also on the other side of the coin. Jonathan Taylor's on the same team. So there isn't a lot of need for a lot of passing. Yeah. I mean, he can, if you've got a guy like Jonathan Taylor on, you can just be a game manager and put your feet up.
Yeah, basically, right. That's what he's been doing.
Yeah.
He's succeeding, so it's good for him. Mm. I mean, he got a really bad rep in Philly after, you know, they didn't protect him back there, so I'm glad he's doing well.
Yeah. Bouncer, clear wide receiver. I'm going to take Emmanuel Sanders. He was WR65 before the season. He's been a bit unsteady lately, but he's definitely a guy that you can plug and play for a lot of matchups this season. He's definitely has a lot of fantasy use. He's definitely way better than before the season, like WR65.
Right. Yeah, he's slipping lately, but yeah, he's beginning of the year, he was doing very well. But then Gabriel Davis is taking a lot more of the time away from him now.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. You know, the younger guy.
Yeah. Right. Maybe he's getting a little beat up now. And I mean, he's a small guy, so comparatively. So.
Yeah. I like Gabriel Davis too. Yeah. Arrows are up for Gabriel Davis. I'm glad you mentioned him.
Yeah. He's a good player. Big boy.
Yep.
Yeah. So I kind of cheated on my wide receiver bounce back.
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he had a couple of touchdowns last year, and he's obviously surpassed that a little bit already. And he had a lot of receptions, but he didn't score that much. And this year with Stafford, yeah, after they breakfasted together, now they're best buddies, and now he's scoring every game. So that's the best I can come up with that.
Maybe not a, you know, you could have just put none in like
that. I could have.
Yeah. But Cooper Kupp, right. He's more like a, not a bounce back, but more like a bounce forward guy. My bounce back player. And this guy is kind of like in the same realm, actually, as Cooper Kupp. Like, I mean, because I wanted to put somebody in. I put in Zach Ertz, but for my tight end. He was tight end 22. I mean, he switched teams this year, and actually he's happier now in Arizona. He's playing tonight in this game. 86% owned in Yahoo. So he's still loved among the fantasy public. So, and with good reason. I mean, he's definitely a startable tight end in a position where, you know, there's so many few guys you can take and plug. But I mean, a little bit of shine has gone off him, but I think that's right.
Yeah, I like him. I couldn't think of how many players that picks. I might pick Ertz as well. I mean, he's kind of, you know, that team with Dallas Goedert in Philly. And so the one of them was going to go, and, you know, Ertz was going to leave sooner or later. And Mooney scored one touchdown last year. And this year's already scored 5. He's tight end 12 on the season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's a bounce back tight end.
All right, Dennis, which rookie has lived up to the hype?
Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, he's been a highlight reel for some outstanding splash plays, but fortunately, he's also had some ugly drops as well. I mean, he scored 8 times this season, but he probably should be double digits already the way he's missed a couple of big plays, but he's still living up to the hype as a big-time fantasy producer wideout.
Yeah, he is. He's kind of slipped back, but he's gotten the touch. I don't know, him and Higgins are both, they're kind of 1A and 1B on this team right now. I would say Ja'Marr Chase is slightly ahead of Higgins. Maybe, I don't know. Next week it could be Higgins. This week you just don't know who it's going to be who. But I think that's kind of the way they want it. On the Bengals, they don't like to show their cards because it might be, you know, it could be Chase again or it could be,
right.
But either way, then we'll like to keep defenses giving. Rookies that didn't live up to the hype this year. I'm going to have to say Kyle Pitts, and it's not really his fault because I think first year tight ends don't really start getting into the groove. Maybe not even you can even say that about Kelsey too. He didn't have a good first season. It was only until the second season that he started getting going. I think that's what we're going to have to wait for, is that don't get your hopes up for first year tight ends, because tight ends, you have to remember, tight ends have a very big, wide range of jobs that they got to do on the field. They got to understand, tight end is probably a very, very, I think it's an underrated position for the technical knowledge that you got to put into it, because you got to understand run routes, and you got to understand blocking, you got to understand, and then on top of that, you got to understand your passing lanes and things like that. It's a very complex position, a lot more complicated than people think, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, you know, Pitts, I mean, I don't think there's any way he's going to live up to all the hype that he's going to get, that he got, I should say, coming into the season. But he's still finished. I mean, he's still a tight end 10 right now. So it's not bad for a rookie who, you know, the expectations are so set so way high that I don't care what he did, unless he was number one, that people would be satisfied. You know, that wasn't going to happen. And that offense in Atlanta is kind of in shambles. So, I mean, he's done well, but not what everyone thought he was going to do. And I'm not surprised that, you know, he's not being picked as someone that didn't succeed, but he's still a tight end 10 on the season. So
yeah,
it's not been 100% successful, but it hasn't been a disappointment really, I think.
But yeah, I suppose that, but he didn't quite live up to what people's expectations is what I'm saying. Everyone thought he was going to be, you know, like they thought he was going to be like Darren Waller, week one Darren Waller every week.
Right. I think that was going to happen. That's the expectations set way too high for him. Right. There's no way he was going to achieve that stuff in his first year. Like I said, tight ends in the first season have a lot of problems, you know, adjusting to the league, and he's no different.
That's right.
Speaking of rookies adjusting to the league, my rookie is Trevor Lawrence. He's struggling big time in Jacksonville, like the whole team is. I mean, he looks pretty lost out there. He's getting no help with that bad coaching staff. He's missing a lot of key players on the offense. But I hope Urban Meyer doesn't ruin him and he gets out of there. Well, if Urban gets out of there in time for Trevor Lawrence not to fall to the rookie getting smashed every game, like the old tin couch Cleveland days. But he was great in college, and he hasn't done that much in the pros yet, and I'm kind of worried about him.
I am too, Trevor Lawrence. To be honest, I've only heard him once at a post presser. I don't sit around listening to post pressers with the Jaguars very often. Post game press. I mean, so I've only seen him once. I think it was weeks ago. He's very. I don't know. He's not who I thought he would be like. He's very kind of quiet, kind of. Not what I kind of expect. I like him, but he's kind of weird. But I know, well, not that, I mean, he's, put it this way, you know, like, you stand him next to Cam Newton. it's a different kind of weird, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So
anyway. Cam's different, that's for sure.
I just wanted to, you know, juxtaposition is sort of,
yeah, definitely. That's two ends of the spectrum there, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Best and worst fantasy rookie quarterback. My best is Mac Jones. My worst is Zach Wilson.
Yeah, me too.
You too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mac Jones is showing growth. I like that, and that's all I expect from. That's all I expect from a rookie quarterback. Show me something. Show me something with the eye test, because I'm big, as you know. I've made this quite known, Dennis. You know, I'm big on the eye test.
Yeah.
Stats and everything. That's all very nice and everything. It's what I see, and what I see with Mac Jones' room for growth. Zach Wilson. It's some sort of culture thing going on. I don't know. They've gone through all these quarterbacks, like, you know, Sanchez, you know, they've had a lot, and I just, every Jets quarterback seems to be like, he seems to have like these Mark Sanchez types, you know, and that's what Zach Wilson is to me. And Darnold was as well. So it's like, I just cannot rise to the occasion ever.
Yeah. Anyway. Hopefully they get some more talent around them. I mean, Elijah Moore is a good player. Michael Carter looks like he's a good back on the backfield. They need to give more production and, you know, more weapons. And hopefully with experience he gets better. But yeah, I think you're right. He's a long way to go. But Matt Jones looks like the real deal. When you got Belichick and McDaniel, he's shown on the ropes. It's hard to beat that combo. So. And he has the composure and the talent to succeed, and it's gonna be a tough out in the playoffs.
They're taking Mac Jones in baby steps. They're not asking him to do too much, and it's having an effect. And the Patriots, that's Belichick, and he's so smart football coach, isn't he? Look at where the Patriots are, top.
Right.
With a rookie quarterback. Tell me, that is that not, it takes kind of good coaching to get that.
Right. Maybe you see New England and Tampa in the Super Bowl. What do you think? Been 2 weeks of hype there, do you think?
Well, we could talk about that for ages.
Right.
Let's get on. Why don't you kick us off with the rookie running back?
Yeah, I went with my best is Javonte Williams. I love Javonte Williams. I mean, especially lately, he's been, you know, really exploding and showing his worth in the football field. Even with Melvin Gordon sharing some of the wealth with him, he's still showing what he could do on the field. And when Gordon leaves, hopefully, nothing is Melvin Gordon, but I really want Javonte Williams at the backfield to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And if Williams could have it, I think he could be one of the top picks in fantasy next year.
Mm-hmm.
My worst is Chuba Hubbard.
I'm picking on Chuba.
He is, you know, obviously he's getting some run now because McCaffrey's hurt once again. He wasn't shown that much. He's not a factor in the passing game when Amir Abdullah is beating you out. I mean, kind of worried about your stature in football.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's averaging less than 4 yards a carry. And I don't see much out of him. Like you say, he doesn't pass the eye test to me. And I don't think he's going to be in the league much longer.
I'll probably be in the league, but you're right. You're okay to pick on poor old Chuba. He couldn't.
Poor old.
Poor young Chuba.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, 4 touchdowns this year. It's, you know, his best RB finish is RB19, week 5. And that's his best. That's his best. Not a bad week against Atlanta. You got a touchdown, 25 points. Or RB25, we got 9 fantasy points, but you're right. Chuba hasn't lived up, but, yeah, I didn't pick a guy. I mean, I was thinking about putting in Chuba, but I thought, well, he's kind of a backup anyway. But you know, I guess you're kind of right to put him in there because you're talking about an RB that's supposed to be, I mean, filling in for McCaffrey while he was injured for most of the time, which is out again, and Chuba hasn't picked up anything. Anyways, my best is obviously Najee, best rookie running back. It's pretty easy, clear cut that he is the number one in Pittsburgh. And the Steelers are working him nicely, if I can put it that way. It's funny about them. They work him in the backfield, but they work him carefully. They don't, you know, he's not really a smash mouth runner, but he's a lot better than I thought he'd be. I mean, he's a steady, I mean, we're talking fantasy for the eye test. It's sort of, it's a volume thing with Najee. He's
right.
But on the other hand, he's good. I think he is capable of getting even better. But I don't think he has I like Najee, but I just don't think he's going to have a long shelf life in the league.
Yeah, not if they wear him out like they are now. I mean, he's, you know, volume based, running back, but I mean, that's what you want from fantasy. Like you said, I'm not sure how much he's going to be able to take that kind of punishment, you know, year after year. And who knows what happens after Ben's gone too. I know we're only talking about fantasy, we're not talking about dynasty, but I'm looking at it, you know, from all points of view that dynasty wise, I mean, who knows who's going to be replacing Ben after this season and what the offense is going to look like then. So,
yeah,
you know, you never know. But Harris is a good player, but he's more of a volume guy than he's, showing this talent on the football field, I think.
There's no arguing, but you see, this is the thing I can't argue with. I can't argue with the numbers. And we're talking about he's had RB finishes of 8 since the bye week, 8, 10, 14, 12. And he had a bad down week against Cincinnati, 41 yards, RB 41, and then a 19. And then this week, he had a 3 in a game where the Steelers were nearly rallied and won against the Bengals, or pardon me, the Vikings. Yeah. So, you know, Najee's producing for you. So he's only got one, but the thing is, he's only got 105. He's got only 2 100 plus yard rushing game. So he's kind of an all purpose back, really, that, you know, he gets 3 or 4 receptions a game. And I guess from a real football, standpoint, he's okay. So, but for me, in fantasy, we're talking fantasy here, because this is best, worst fantasy rookie running back. I have to go with Najee Harris. There we are. Let's move up. What's up next?
We've got a receivers. I went with the obvious. The best is Chase. I mean, that's, you know, Captain Obvious here. The worst, Terrace Marshall, the Carolina Panthers. He had a lot of hype coming in the season, but he hasn't done anything. A lot of that has to do, a lot of it has to do with the quarterbacking in Carolina, but it also has to do with, his ability to stay on the field. He hasn't produced. So, he's a bust to me.
I remember the week when, Terrace Marshall started getting dropped. He was getting dropped, like as soon as there was something on the waiver wire, I started seeing Terrace Marshall, because people put some stock in him because they kind of thought he would be something. I don't know. I think next year, Darnold, it was the same thing with DJ Moore, and we could talk about, I don't even see DJ Moore on here, but DJ Moore, he suffered with, Darnold, and people lost a lot of it. I think we gotta look at good offenses and good quarterbacks for wide receivers now. I mean, it's, just not cutting it, but Terrace Marshall, absolutely right. Definitely lost some shine. To be fair, he was never that shiny to me, being on the Panthers and knowing that, you know. And I'll be honest, I did think Darnold, new team, new scenario, away from the Jets, away from, you know, Adam Gase and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I kind of thought it might be a little bit better, but it didn't. He brought the DNA of the Jets with him, I guess.
That's bad. Yeah, you'd think he would. He started off pretty hot. I mean, most of it was his rushing touchdowns, but he looked like he was playing well and then just went downhill. He went back to the old Sam Darnold, unfortunately.
Yeah. Rookie tight end. We both picked Pat Freiermuth. And he's off to a good start for his career. And for a fantasy rookie tight end, it's like we said, he's not great. He isn't a great, like, he's like taken off, like, but you don't expect that from tight ends. A tight end is like we say, it's a tight end is more of a process position than the other skills. It is definitely the highest of the skills. There's two different skills. Like, I'm not gonna read, but Pratt Freiermuth. What's he been doing lately? Let's just take a look at the stats just for fun, because you know part of the thing what we do. Let's see. Come on, pop up. Here we go. Tight end since the bye week. Tight end 2-1, 26, 11, 7, 18, and 7 again, just in that loss to the Minnesota Vikings. So, I mean, you're getting fantasy production out of him. There's no question about it. Where do we put him next year, you think?
Yeah, I think he's a tight end 1. He'll be the top 12 pick, I think. I mean, he reminds me of Heath Miller when he was with the Steelers.
Yeah, he said that before, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think he's in that category, I think. So, I can see him as a top 12 tight end next year.
Okay. Bust-own. These are guys that are not necessarily the top, not guys that are near the top, but they're definitely must own, and not everybody can have the best guys, but there's other good players that we put on this list. I know, I see Dennis has put on a couple of big ones, but, well, we all did. We all put big ones, but these are the guys that are kind of like in the 2 or 3 or 4 spot, for must own and bust own quarterbacks. So, Dennis, sorry, I won't go ahead, Dennis. Start us off on the must own quarterbacks.
I went with Josh Allen as our must own. He, he brings that rushing upside, in fantasy, and he, watched yesterday's game, against Tampa Bay, Chucky, that comeback. He was phenomenal out there. He, unfortunately, he got hurt. But, hopefully he's okay and he can play this week. But he's, he looked tremendous and he rallied the team to, almost a great comeback. And, with that rushing upside and he has, some good weapons around him, I think he could be, he's going to be a fantasy stud for years.
He's, amazingly, what did he got? He got the topic. I think he got 39 fantasy points, something like that for your fantasy team. Like 39 points. Like you're trying to get into playoffs and you got Josh Allen, you're there. 36 right, points. Exactly. QB1 for the week. Pretty good. 308 yards, as you say, and three touchdowns. Only one interception, but he laughs at interceptions. He can absorb them. He's got lots and lots of touchdown passes here. Yeah. So he's not the greatest ratio of touchdowns to interceptions, but I mean, he's scoring heavily. Your fantasy teams, like I say, 2 number 1 finishes in the last 3 weeks. Bit of a down week against New England, but that was a rainy, windy fair. Windy anyway. It was very windy and cold in New England.
Yeah, it was a bad weather day.
Yeah. So I can we can excuse that one.
Yeah. So my bust is Big Ben.
Picking on old Ben, are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's you can't throw the deep ball anymore. He's he's ready to say he's gonna retire probably after the season, and I think he's ready to go. I mean, they're gonna give him a last shot this year. Hopefully he can do some with the team, but I wouldn't set my hopes too high.
Well, he's trying very hard. Finishes a QB9, QB26, QB9, and QB5 in the last 4 weeks. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, a little bit. Not of volume, but yeah, I wouldn't be, I'm not too keen on Big Ben.
No, I know I'm not too keen on him there. I mean, I think the day is done. I mean, still though, I mean, if you streamed him last week, you got 26 fantasy.
Yeah, crazy.
That's pretty good for you against Minnesota. And not most of that came in the second half because the Steelers were terrible on Thursday night in the first half. The second half they started rallying and they nearly won the game. I don't know. Minnesota just let up, and you don't let up on the Steelers, boy. They nearly came back on them.
No, that was a great comeback by them. And they should have won. They should have got into overtime because they had a pass to Freiermuth who dropped the ball in the end zone. So they would have. It would have been interesting to see what they would have did after that. They went for 2-0, but it was a great comeback by them. Give them credit. So who do you got at quarterback?
Who I got my quarterback? Bust on? Well, I actually have a clip. I'm gonna play this clip.
Okay. 200 passing yards now for Herbert. Roundtree is the back. Fires over the middle. What an arm, Allen. In a 14, he just throws a beautiful ball.
He really does, Al.
That they are talking about Justin Herbert, and he does throw a beautiful ball. You watch this guy. This guy, it's silk when he throws that ball. He is a really good passer. I'm glad he's on my fantasy team. I'm glad he's not on somebody else's fantasy team because I'd be so envious. I wanted him on my fantasy team because I saw him last year and I saw this. So eye test again. Herbert does throw a beautiful ball and when he's hitting, he's lethal. I mean, we saw that just that amazing pass to Guyton against the Giants.
Oh yeah, holy cow. That was amazing.
I mean, he does that all the time. And that clip was from the Steelers game. And the passes he were throwing, this was just like, oh, he's good. But like I say, I wanted him on my fantasy team because I didn't want to watch somebody else having this guy on his team because I know what he's like. So that's my thoughts on Justin Herbert. I don't know how you feel about Justin Herbert.
Well, I love him, yeah. He's awesome. He's in that offense. He has a lot of weapons around him, and he's going to be a stud for years.
Yeah. And when Al Michaels has watched a lot of football in his lifetime, and he doesn't come up with stuff like that without meaning it.
Right.
My bust on is Russell Wilson. Now, Russell's having a not a very good year, and maybe it is just a bad year. I mean, he could bounce back next year, but I don't know whether he's going to be on the team this year. But Russell and the Seattle offense is just not, I don't know, it's not clickety click. And unfortunately, he's taking down DK Metcalf with him a little bit. And Tyler Lockett seems to have weathered most of the storm, but even he's down a bit. I'm kind of worried about Russell Wilson and next season. I think he's a bounce back candidate. I'm not sure, but definitely a bust on quarterback for me.
Yeah, he had a bad stretch there. He's starting to feel a little better this year, last couple of games. But he's killing Metcalf out there. He's not up in Metcalf at all. Interesting to see where he's playing next year. I don't think he's going to be in Seattle next year, but. I wonder where he's going to play at.
I don't know.
We'll see. Who are you looking at our running back?
My must-own is Dalvin Cook. My bust-own is Miles Sanders. Now, Dalvin Cook goes without saying. We saw him what he did. And the funny thing is, and this is really annoying for Madison owners, it was like I was mad because I had Madison all lined up and, the gun was cocked and ready to did. But I had to, as soon as I heard Dalvin Cook, what, Dalvin Cook's playing?
Right. Oh crap!
What is this sorcery?
Right.
Right.
So now he's playing.
And so now he's playing, and so I had to tuck away Madison, and because Dalvin Cook was playing, so I thought, because I had Madison on my team, always on the ready for Dalvin Cook to get hurt, and I thought, oh goody, I think I'm gonna get another two games out of this. Instead, I only get one.
Yeah,
he only missed a game from the shoulder separation, but Dalvin Cook, gotta say, he's a gamer and definitely a must own RB. He'll play through injuries if he has to. He'll wore the harness and everything, but on the downside, Sanders, he's my bust own. Not showing anything. And I know he had that little streak, but I mean, even before that, Miles Sanders wasn't doing much. I just get up this. Here we are, Miles Sanders. Just to show you what he's been doing over the. Even before you were getting You're getting 6, 7, 6, 8, 8, 3, 7, 7. Those are your fantasy points you were getting. And he missed those, and weeks 8, 9, and 10, he was out. And finally he puts in 16 fantasy points and comes out, and he still ended up only as the 15th RB. He's not got 120 yards on the ground, but we're talking the Jets here before right. before the bye week, right? So now they're on the bye, you know. So before the bye week against the Jets, he gets 16 points. Way slow clap for that one.
Yeah, golf clap.
You know. So, yeah, that's Miles Sanders for me. I think
it is disappointing. I got an obvious pick as my most owned as obvious as your Devin Cook. I got Jonathan Taylor. Enough said right there. my most owned is Zeke Elliott. Much as he scores, you know, in that offense, he's not looked very good lately. I know he's hurt.
He's playing hurt. He's limping off after every play.
Yeah, it looks like an old man out there trying to play football. And, I mean, he should probably not be out there, but he's gutting it out. He's, you know, he's lost a little burst. Even last year, he wasn't looking as good as he was. Like maybe the pound is getting to him. I mean, he's still, I mean, you know, we drafted him as RB1, but I think now he's RB2. And, you should, project those RB2 numbers instead for the rest of this year. And I would assume next year as well.
You know what? You know what this proves about Zeke Elliott? It proves that if a player wants to hold out, go ahead, buddy. Oh, you can hold out as long as you want. That's what it tells me of our running backs. Yeah, because that's I don't know why Jerry Jones finally caved, but, you know, just goes to show you, you know, running backs are, you know, they're kind of expendable in the league right now.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I mean, you don't sign a running back to that kind of money. I mean, no one's going to do it anymore, probably, but I mean, he signed into big money and they're feeling sorry for it now. I mean, Tony Pollard's looking a lot better than he is this year.
Way better.
Yeah.
It's definitely.
He has an explosion. Yeah.
It looked way explosive. And this is even before you could see Pollard emerging in that backfield, you know.
Right. Yeah, hopefully he gets healthy for a stretch run because he's going to need the explosion in that offense. So we'll see. All right. So who do you got? Wide receiver? You take it.
I don't know because I haven't got it up. I do know. I'm just kidding. My must own and bust own. My must own is Justin Jefferson for obvious reasons. And too. And my bust own is DK Metcalf. Also for obvious reasons that we talked about with Russell Wilson. He's not quarterback proof, DK Metcalf. That is one thing. That's one thing I'll always remember now. I only made a mental note. DK Metcalf, if he moves to another team, he needs a quarterback. You can't put him on a team where, so if he ever changes teams or Seattle gets a different quarterback, it depends on the quality. As DK Metcalf is definitely reliant on Russell Wilson, as Russell Wilson will get him the ball. I mean, he's a beast receiver and he's a good receiver. He's like AJ Brown. Of course, they're both of them are Ole Miss beasts, right?
Right. Yeah. Big guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Tyler Lockett's playing out of his mind right now. He's out producing Metcalf, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if, I think Metcalf maybe, you know, getting double teams a lot. And that's why he's not as productive as well as Lockett's not. So I think Lockett's taking advantage of that. He's playing out of his mind right now. If you have Lockett on the team in a couple of games, you gotta be very happy with his explosion. I mean, as soon as you count on Lockett, usually it's when he folds, but hopefully he continues his hot streak.
Yeah, and even Tyler Lockett, even during the period of Geno Smith, I mean, I think one game with Geno Smith, he still ended up with, was Geno Smith in there when they were playing Jacksonville in Week 8? He might have been.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He got 142 yards, Tyler Lockett, that week. So Tyler Lockett is definitely, he's kind of survived the worst of this. I mean, he's had, since the bye week, he's had two 100 plus games, nearly had a 100 yard game against Washington. So Tyler Lockett, when you compare Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, you can definitely see Tyler Lockett is a receiver that can get open better.
Right.
Than DK Metcalf. And that makes a difference. Well, that's how a wide receiver can be quarterback proof because he can find his way open in the quarterbacks who aren't as skilled. I mean, you got to have a certain level of skill to play in the NFL, right? I mean, right. Tyler Lockett. Exactly. I mean, but it makes it easier for the less skilled of the quarterbacks in the NFL to find him. Whereas DK Metcalf is a little bit more, you got to throw him into battling balls. And yeah, sure, DK Metcalf can battle for a ball, but I mean, you got to throw into coverage a little bit more. And unskilled quarterbacks don't like to do that for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Because
Metcalf doesn't get that separation like Lockett does. Right.
I mean, because not every, there's a lot of good skilled quarterbacks, but not all these good skilled quarterbacks can thread the needle like the best.
Right. So my bust zone is, you know, Justin Jefferson as well. Uh-huh. My bust zone is Kenny Galladay. You know, he had a lot of fanfare going to the Giants, and he thought maybe he would do something with Daniel Jones as a quarterback, and both those players have been huge disappointments, and actually the whole Giants team has been a disappointment, but he hasn't really done anything, and that big contract is something I was shocked that he even got, because he was not very good when he ended his time in Detroit, and that time has got the same lack of production in the Giants' first season, so he's somebody I'm not going to own ever again on my fantasy team.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame, Galladay, because you kind of thought there would be a fresh enterprise there.
Right.
As you say, I think you mentioned that, not sure if you did mention, but Kadarius Toney, looks like that rookie, he's kind of a rookie too that looks good, because he's injured a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he's a big playmaker, and he's probably going to be the number one on that team. Whoever the quarterback is there, I don't know if Daniel Jones will be the quarterback there next season.
It's kind of, don't you think it's kind of hard to figure out the Giants? I mean,
right, I agree. Yeah, I mean, they're going to have a new GM there because, the decisions that they made lately, they're not, obviously not succeeding. And Daniel Jones is a bust after picking him that high. Yeah. No one even had him close to that kind of draft stock. So I think he'll have new management there and maybe new coaching staff, who knows?
Oh, I don't think they'll get rid of Judge. I mean, it's too early to judge on Judge. Don't you think? I mean, I can because you got an injured football team. Like, honestly, I mean, what can you do? I mean, they had out there, like, you had your there was a couple of weeks out there where they had to have John Ross out there. It's like their WR1.
True. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I mean, that's pretty harsh. It was a couple of weeks there. John Ross is their top receiver. I mean, come on, man. It's, come on, time to get out of the hospital there.
Right. Because I always wanted to get Sterling Shepard on my team because I figured he would be the sleeper pick if he was ever healthy. But
isn't it funny how, like, next year you sort of, like, your feelings about last year always sort of carry into next year, and you sort of believe that last year is going to be, oh, no, I'm not going to do that because this is going to happen. It's hard to squeeze out of that mindset, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you always want to be the guy that picks the right time to pick a breakout, you know, so you're hoping that, yeah, I'm going to pick Shepard. He'll break out this year because I picked him. And hopefully you hit. If not, then it's always a waiver wire.
I'll be looking forward to. I'm kind of looking a little bit more forward to next year because I think I have a better. I think I have a better eye of what thing is going on. The only thing is I always. The problem with me is I always forget. Okay. Don't you remember what? It's not just remembering. It's not all about stats. But you can get into this thing where you look at stats, but you kind of forget about what you saw in the actual games of the time and what you felt at the time.
Yeah, true. I keep notes, I guess.
I suppose there's a lot of people who keep a fantasy diary, and that would probably be a big help.
Yeah.
But even so, it's just hard to take what you see in the past and apply it to the future. It just never, ever, ever works. Mainly because of, injuries and stuff. Anyways, getting sidetracked. Who's up? Me?
Yeah. Well, your tight ends, who do you got? Who's your most owned?
Yeah, it's George Kittle. I couldn't believe the magical catches, George Kittle. It would have been a terrible crime if San Francisco lost that game. That amazing catch that they got to take the lead against the my Vikings. Just totally amazing. Did you see that catch?
Oh, yeah. It was phenomenal.
That guy is
full extended. And
I took that.
It was amazing.
I was looking at I watched that 100 zillion times. So I kept rewinding it.
I just love that catch by George Kittle, like, to take it. This was just before the overtime, you know?
Yeah.
It's just poetry. The way he jumped up and leapt up and caught that ball. That was a hard ball. That was a hard catch. That was a lot of players don't catch that ball.
You attempt to catch it, you know? I love watching Kittle play.
It's just there's 80% of the people in the NFL, maybe even 85%, don't catch that ball.
Yeah,
I'll even include wide receivers in there too.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Anyways, definitely great player, and I would say right now, rest of season, Kittle's the man. He's ahead of Andrews and Kelsey for sure.
Yeah,
easily.
As long as he stays healthy, but he's tight end one.
Yeah, that's the only problem.
He just can't stay healthy. That's the thing.
Yeah, but when he's playing, he's on. He's definitely the best. I want him over Kelsey now. Sure. He's won me over. See, I test wins. My guy bust-own side here is Robert Tonyan. Now, I know he's been out for injury, but I'm talking about his production before he left. And I think it made owners a lot happier when he was out because it was easier to drop him.
Right. Very true.
And
he was a bust to be, bust all season. So
yeah.
I mean, that was a fluke last year. It was him scoring all those touchdowns. So he was a player I was staying away from this year.
Yeah, no, I wasn't seeing it. I was thinking it was good. This was a 1 year wonder type of thing. And sure enough, I mean, he was getting drafted. Let's see, in the drafts I guess he wasn't all that high. No, he was TE9.
Yeah, no way I'd do that.
TE9. That's the ECR. And Tonyan got he had two top 10 finishes, one against Detroit, and then of course he was out from the season from week 8 on. So, but he had another top 10 finish in week 7 against me. But that's it. I mean,
who's having a similar season to him is this year is Dawson Knox. Similar kind of year, unfortunately. You know, and he's going to get drafted pretty high. Knox is probably a top 5 tight end right now. But
yeah.
Oh, he doesn't score touchdowns. I mean, that's what you want, obviously, but I don't know how sustainable that is.
Well, the target's gone up. We got 9 targets against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that was mostly in comeback mode, though, because they were down by a lot of points.
Yeah, that's true, but he had 10 targets against Indianapolis, too. So, but like you say, he could be a flash in the pan. Just as a side note, he was, you have to say, though, Dawson Knox, TE. He was TE 27 in the ECR for the season.
Yeah. Nice boost, but he'll get overdrafted next year.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay away from him.
Yep. Must-own, bust-own, tight end.
My must-own is Mark Andrews, having a hell of a year, and he keeps producing as a tight end one on your team. And no matter who the quarterback is, Jackson or Huntley, he's still getting force-fed the ball. And you got to love that from your tight end. And my bust is Noah Fant. I mean, he's had so much hype. He's almost as got much hype as Evan Ingram does every year. Mm-hmm. And he still doesn't produce. And I just don't want any part of him.
Yeah, it's a kind of a sad thing about Fant. It just... and then you come along and you see this guy like Ogie Boogie 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 getting the touchdowns, and out of the blue. I think he did. I think Ogie Boogie Boogie scored a touchdown, which he did, and he got 13 points, fantasy points. But I'm going to say his name properly. I'm going to give it a go.
Good luck. I'm not trying that.
Aquibunum. Aquibunum. Okay, it's Aquibun. I can't do it. Aquegbunum.
Albert O. That's what we're going to call it.
Albert O. Albert.
Yeah.
I think that's what they said on the commentary, too. They just called him Albert.
Albert O. They don't even take the chance to try to figure that out.
Anyway, so he's got a hard name to pronounce, but Albert O. Yeah, that's what we'll call him, Albert O. But then he scored a touchdown. But you're right about Fant. And you're also right about Mark Andrews. Steady as a rock this year. A couple of down days, you always get that even with the best. But Mark Andrews, totally solid. Must-own guy, definitely. Another top 5 in 2022, easily.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Makes sense. Last category. I'm going to go with the position people that surprised good and bad. So what do you start us off with your quarterback, good and bad surprises at quarterback this year?
I really didn't think Jalen Hurts was going to be this good. I kind of, like, to me, I was surprised that he was this good. I didn't think he was going to be, I really didn't think he was going to be as good as this. I kind of thought he would take a step back, but every week he's been, you know, he's been a very serviceable quarterback. I mean, always in the top five. Got injured, but, you know, starting to see a little bit of that. But the only problem with Hurts is that, like, I mean, he's got finishes, like, he's got how many top 10 finishes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. And then, of course, he was injured for the Jets game, which that was the one where, what's his name? The flamboyant guy that the mustache and all.
Minshew
played.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the bye week, and then we expected him back. But that's a lot of top 10 finishes.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that from him. So that kind of surprised me. He's kind of surprised me. I didn't think he was going to be this good. And
yeah, I agree. He's a lot of rushing mostly, though.
It is, I mean, but in so, fantasy points, we don't care.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how you get it, right?
Yeah, as long as you get it. It's like Taysom Hill, right?
Right, exactly.
So yeah, Jalen Hurts. Yeah, the only problem with Hurts is that it's not translating to a lot of fantasy points for receivers. Maybe it is for Dallas Goedert, but not a whole lot of benefit for wide receivers there. Devonta Smith kind of dropped off. So.
Yeah, he had a couple flashes, but nothing crazy, unfortunately.
Yeah, everybody's sort of boom bust as far as wide receivers go. I mean, Dallas Goedert's about the only one that you can really trust of receiving. I mean, he's tight end, right? But and quarterback kind of surprised me on the bad side. I kind of expected a little bit more from Trevor Lawrence. We've already talked about him. We don't really need to go into any more detail, but he's the guy that kind of surprised me.
Yeah, fortunately, yeah. Yeah, it's a train wreck in Jacksonville right now, unfortunately. Yep. Okay, and so my surprise, everyone knows he's good, but no one, at least me, didn't think he'd be this good again this year. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady. You know, he's the top quarterback right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wins MVP.
Good pick.
Yeah, I didn't think he would be as good as he is again. So, and he has weapons around him, even without Antonio Brown you know, contributing. I mean, he's making Rashard Perryman a star out there with his bomb. So he's using all his talents surrounding him, and he's playing like he's 24, not 44. So he's hard to beat as the top pick of someone that surprised me this year.
Yeah, he surprised me too. He's right in the MVP. In fact, I think he's the favorite for MVP.
Yeah, I think he should win. I mean, he's playing phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's crazy. 44 years old, and still playing like he's 24.
Who kind of surprised you on the bad side that you didn't think was going to be this bad?
Yeah, someone who I picked in a couple of my drafts who I thought would be a lot better is Daniel Jones, and he didn't do crap. He had a couple of flashes, and that's mostly with his running. But I thought maybe with the weapons he had around him, you know, with Galladay being there, we talked about before with Barkley, you know, hopefully healthy, that he would have the weapons around him to make him succeed. And he was a big failure. So he's someone that kind of shot that he didn't succeed. But I think he probably won't be in New York next year. But I hope he finds somebody he can succeed in.
I think he'll succeed in as a backup role. It's where they all happen. Yeah. You know, it's where they.
Yeah, that's all he could probably.
Well, do. I wouldn't call it the trash heap. I mean, Mariota. I mean, he can do something if he's needed. You know, like you look at Minshew. I mean, he's not. I don't think he'd be a quality backup, but he'd be somebody you'd want him to have on a backup. Somebody said, you know, he's got a few games under his belt. You know, as a starter, knows the ropes. So he definitely has got some time in the league as a journeyman somewhere.
Right. You hope?
Yeah, well, I hope for him. I always hope for guys to keep career going.
Right.
Keep it going with the right running backs, Dennis.
The one that surprised me is James Conner. Holy crap, where did this come from? You know, I mean, I saw him at Pittsburgh. He had a couple of decent seasons, but yeah, this year he's looking like you know, one of the best backs in the league. He scored 14 touchdowns total of the season, and you know, he's taking over that backfield over at Chase Edmonds, and he's been a godsend for Cardinals and for fantasy owners this year.
Yeah, definitely. Surprised me too. He did. He has surprised me. I didn't expect him to be as good. And like you say, you kind of thought Chase Edmonds. I wasn't expecting a 1A, 1B. Well, sort of, maybe.
Right. But, yeah, I didn't know what to expect, but cause I thought he was kind of washed in Pittsburgh, so I didn't expect them to do much in Arizona. I thought he was just going to be maybe spelling Edmonds a little bit, but
yeah,
he's overtaken him, and he's been a stud.
Yep, and deserve it.
Yeah. And the bad running back I have is Mike Davis. At the beginning of the season during the draft, I was hoping that he would be like an RB2 because he's the only person in town. Didn't think, obviously, Patterson would be anything, and figure that offense with Ryan and Ridley and Pitts tight end would, you know, have a little bit of explosion. But Davis looks like his career is done. He hasn't done anything in a long time. Of course, last week, Sunday, he actually played pretty well, but overall this season, he's been pretty bad.
Yeah, I think he's just a victim of, I mean, Cordero Patterson. I'll say it again, ECR 367. No one can, right. How can you see that coming? You can't.
No, you can't.
And I think that's part of the issue, but I think you're kind of right on the other side of the coin. Like, RB2 is just never going to happen. The volume was just, we kind of got tricked.
Right.
I think with the... But, we can only think what we see on the surface, but we don't know what teams are planning for the season behind closed doors. They had this all. It was obvious that they had Cordero Patterson all planned. There's no way they just did this as a spur of the moment. They just did this as a surprise thing on everybody. They had this planned. They had to have.
Yeah, I guess so, but he's. Yeah, Patterson's he's a league winner for a lot of fantasy managers this year.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you got? Who's your running backs?
Guys, we've already talked about Joe Mixon. He kind of surprised me this year, and Ezekiel Elliott kind of surprised me in the bad side. But we've talked about them, so yeah. I'll continue on with the wide receivers. The wide receiver that surprised me this year is Jalen Waddle. Rookie, and I like what I'm seeing from this guy. He's definitely going to be Miami's number one wide receiver. I can see him going in 2022. I can see him going late second, early third, maybe.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. I can see that. He's been a big surprise this year. I mean, he has that connection with Tua, with their time in Alabama. He's breaking all the rookie records and receiving in yards this year. I mean, he's lost them to me. He had some moments that are pretty surprising, explosion from Waddle. It's good to see.
Yeah, and I'd say that, he's the other receiver. Like, I mean, he's not as close to Chase as far as the rookies go, but I consider him, I would say he's number two to Chase, the number two rookie wide. I could be missing somebody. You'll probably come up with somebody to go, what about him? I can't think of another wide receiver that's,
Well, you're probably right. I think if Elijah Moore was healthy all year, he would
have. Oh, you're right. Elijah Moore.
Challenged that one.
Yeah, you can bring Elijah Moore in the debate for that, no doubt about it. Especially on a team like the Jets.
You force fed the ball because they had nobody else.
So, Elijah Moore, definitely a good argument on that for sure. And of course, God, we already talked about Kenny Golladay. I wasn't expecting him to be this bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
Probably not his fault, like the Giants, right? Not a lot of help around.
those teams in New York are not doing so well. Both teams are playing like crap and a lot of turmoil in that team. Both teams. And
the Giants, I can't remember the Giants being any good since the days of Lawrence Taylor. That's how long ago that I can remember good Giants teams.
When Coughlin was there with Manning.
Oh, yeah, the Coughlin. Yeah, but even those Super Bowl years with Coughlin, they kind of had to do it. They were injured teams too, and they just... I don't know. I wouldn't say, nobody lucks out in the playoffs against teams, but they stepped up.
Yeah, they did.
They were well coached. Coughlin's a good motivator, obviously. So they won those two Super Bowls against Brady, no less. So, kudos to Coughlin. I couldn't keep going. He's getting on. Golladay.
Yeah. So my good and bad, the good one, obviously he's a good receiver, but Cooper Kupp, I never thought he'd be this good. I mean, he is dominating all of fantasy right now. And receiver, he's outscoring the second receiver by 40 points, and he is such a difference maker at the wide receiver position that if you have a minor team, if you're not in the playoffs, you did something wrong. So, my Cooper Kupp is my good. My bad is, Julio Jones. I've been a fan of Julio Jones for years. And when he went to Tennessee, I was worried about what's going to happen to him. And he hasn't done anything there. And maybe it's time for Julio to, think about, times after football, because it's like he's always been, hurt the last couple of seasons. So, it's sad to say, but he's been pretty bad this year.
Yeah, sad to say his best years are past him. We know that. And, we kind of could see the signs last year too, his last year with the, Falcons. So, we could see, the writing was on the wall, but, yeah, it's getting very near the end for Julio. The injuries are starting to pile up, and this, at some point, well, I don't know, some players are different. The game doesn't become fun anymore when you're battling injuries all the time. And Julio, there was a time when Julio was like one of the least injured guys. He was, you know, but, recent years, starting to get those niggling injuries now. So,
yes, that's a good sign.
Kind of reminds me of Roddy White in a way.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah. Those two guys were together. They were pretty potent.
So, anyways, right along. I'll start, and then you can finish the show. I kind of talked about him already. Dawson Knox. He surprised me. Like as I said, he was down as the T27 before the season. So if you picked him up off the waivers, he's kind of another good waiver grab for a tight end. Actually, when you talk about waivers, Dawson Knox, good pickup. But we kind of covered him enough. Tyler Higbee. I kind of expected him to be a little better. It kind of surprised me. He wasn't at least a little bit more involved. He sort of has his good spots and his bad spots, but he's definitely not getting, Matthew Stafford's attention for, red zone targets. Not at all. So.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
So that's the thing about Tyler Higbee. I know he was ECR 10, for TE 10 before the season. That's way too high. It looks too high for Higbee. I mean, ahead of Dallas Goedert. I mean, would you rather, and ahead of Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski was TE 14. Like, I mean, we're talking guys that's, definitely, I mean, I would even, you know, right now, I think I'd rather own Jared Cook.
That's scary.
I don't blame you. Well, Jared Cook gets targeted by Herbert. I mean, I don't see many targets going Higbee's way for the red zone. He's not a red zone tight end. He's a first down. He's a first get me the first down tight end.
Yeah, and there's a lot of weapons there too. So he's not. Not the main guy. He's probably what the fourth, fifth option on that team. So he's not getting every look. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Finish this up, Dennis.
My tight end is Dalton Schultz.
Schultz.
I thought he would. I thought in Dallas, Blake Jarwin would be taking over the tight end position, but Dalton's really stepped up, and he had four touchdowns on here. He had a streak that he was, you know, the hottest pickup in fantasy at tight end, and I think he's still someone that I'm surprised that made it. To that point where he's a competent tight end for your fantasy team. Am I bad? I can't believe I'm going to say this guy, but Darren Waller. He was one of my top picks, and he's only scored two touchdowns this year. And he's been hurt the last couple of weeks, but you know, he had a great first week of the year, and after that, he's done almost absolutely nothing. So he's been my bad selection for this.
Mm-hmm. How like when it comes to the first week of the season, how much are you gonna ignore what you see on the first week of the season from now on?
You know, you always fall the trap of that, right? You always see a guy explode, you're like, I'm gonna pick him up, and he doesn't do crap the rest of the year. You know, drives you crazy.
That's very true, because I remember that there was this guy, Ogletree, played for Dallas, and he had a couple of big and shark traders were just like making people thought Ogletree was going to be the guy, and he had another big game, and then just did nothing.
Right.
So this is how people. This is, I don't know. When you play fantasy football, I don't know. I kind of have feelings about, like, I kind of think that the fantasy guys don't like it when you do stuff like this. and it comes back on you.
They frown upon you. Yeah, come back and haunt you.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. The fantasy guys don't like that. But yeah. So I find that stuff comes back on you. Yeah, it comes back on you twice as bad. So yeah. You end up with you're in the penalty box 5 fantasy seasons. So.
5. <yeah. laughs> That's funny.
So, anyways, I think we pretty much covered a lot. I don't know what we're going to be talking up. Dennis, you got to come up with a topic next week. You need to talk about for Christmas, because it's next week. Well, it's the week after. It's,
yeah.
I got 2 more articles to write about. It is what it is. I got to write these things, but even though we're getting less and less audience now because, well, pardon me, our audience is cut in half already. Nobody's gonna. Yeah. Nobody cares about fantasy. Everybody's talking about baseball. People are into fantasy. Are you not into baseball yet?
No, I'm not into MLB yet. I mean, I do write baseball stuff for Six Pack and Roto Baller, but I haven't looked at any baseball yet. So, I mean, there's a lot of moves already made, free agents signings and stuff, and I haven't really paid attention to it. You know, I've been on football mode for, I'll probably be like that until next couple of weeks while I'm in the playoffs, hopefully. Hopefully it lasts that long.
Yeah, I got a playoff date coming up, so I'll look and see how that all pans out.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you, and good luck to you and your fantasy players, and good luck to everybody out there who's stuck with us in this extended Fantasy Edge for week 15, and good luck in your fantasy playoffs. We'll start getting a little more Christmassy next week, I think, and even though this isn't our Christmas show, I don't even know if our Christmas, oh, it might be our Christmas next. I don't know.
Next week.
I can't. Yeah. Well, next week would be our Christmas show?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to do something.
Yeah, we'll think of something.
We'll think of something, exactly. Okay, take care, everybody, and thank you for joining us on the Fantasy Edge. I'm Mr. Seville, and Dennis Sosa. Take care.
Adios.